I would like first to thank the organizers for inviting me. And my talk is about the extended dynamical mean field theory and the model GW approximation. This work was done at Rutgers University in collaboration with Professor Cartier. So I'll first describe the methodology, how we implemented extended dynamical mean field theory and combine it with the GW approximation. I'll explain a little bit the QMC implementation we did on the extended dynamical mean field theory through the Hobach-Zatanovich auxiliary field. And I'll show you applications of the method on the three-dimensional UV model and the 1D UV model. And basically, I want to convince you the advantage of the extended version of the dynamical mean field theory over the standard one. Then finally, it's the conclusion. Dynamical mean field theory started with the Hobach model with the local, with the on-site U interaction. From various derivations of the theory, we know now the cavity construction is one of the most intuitive. From this picture, you keep one lattice site while you integrate all the other lattice and get an effective local theory. And in order that you truncate the infinite series so that you avoid more and more particles involved in interaction, you need to scale the Hopping matrix element properly. It turns out that this approximation is conserving in the sense that you can derive it from the Bain cardinal function now. In this function now, there is a two-particle irreducible part, which I show here up to second order. And this part, when you take the derivative with respect to the Green's function, it gives you the self-energy. These diagrams are, in certain sense, the skeleton diagrams, such that those lines are the full Green's functions. So you take the infinite subset of the diagram into the theory. There are mainly two motivations for the development of the extended version of the dynamical mean field theory. The first motivation is that from the point of view you want to do model calculation, you need to handle the non-local interactions. So the original theory only tells you how to handle the on-site U. We need to know, we need to develop scheme how to handle the non-local interaction. From the other side, the electronic structure calculation, once you take into account the correlation effects, you will have a energy-dependent local interaction U. And we also want to know how to handle this situation. So let's start with the non-local interaction. A straightforward way to handle the non-local interaction is that you just take the original DMFT theory, put in a Hartree contribution. And this simple way, a simple improvement, it allows you to take into account in the self-consistent way the adjustment of the self of the Fermi energy in the existence of a non-local interaction. But with this Hartree contribution only, you still have only a constant U, and you do not have dynamical feedback from the non-local interactions and from the screenings from the other orbitals. So here comes the extended DMFT. I'll show you a little more detail later, but in terms of the Bain cardinal function now, the extended DMFT is amount to take into account this set of diagrams. And these W lines are the full interactions so that you can take into account the energy dependence into the interaction. So far I have told you what is the extended DMFT compared to the original dynamical mean field theory. And if you work out this theory and you find that just like the original version, the self-energy is still momentum independent. And we know that in many practical applications, we do need a momentum dependence in the self-energy. And here comes the GW approximation. The idea is the following. In many correlated systems, the on-site correlations, the local correlations are strong and should be solved non-perturbatively, say like by the DMFT. On the other hand, the non-local contributions are weaker and we need a method which is numerically less expensive, like a GW, so that we can take into account perturbatively those spatially non-local correlations. And here I draw this diagram, which is actually the GW part in the Bain Kolmogorov function now. As you can see that this diagram will contribute to the fork exchange diagram in the electron self-energy. And in the interaction part, it will give you a kind of random phase approximation. So this form put all those series together, combined the so-called EDMFT plus the GW approximation. As I said, that the idea is to get a cheap calculation of the spatial correlation. And this is a perturbative GWA. And the main point here is how you implement the extended dynamic mean field theory so that you get the major part, then you do a perturbation based on it. So now I come to the EDMFT part. Historically, extended DMFT was developed independently by different groups during the years. And in last year, there was a very nice review paper published by Kotlia and Savlasov. And actually, you can sync everything in EDMFT in parallel as that in the standard DMFT. So, say, let's still take this model Hamiltonian with a non-local density-density interaction. The original model will give you a DMFT theory like this. And the non-local interaction will give you a retarded interaction. This is easily understood such that when you integrate all the left side except one side you want to keep, you induce some kind of retarded interaction, which is mediated by the electrons on the other lattice side you integrate out. So this is a reasonable form you can think of. As I said, everything in the EDMFT is in parallel to the standard DMFT. From the cavity model, you can construct the dynamical Weiss function for the electrons, and in the same way, you construct that for the interactions. And at the Dyson equations level, you have the Dyson equations for the electrons, you have similar equations for the interactions. I should point out that the counterpart of the electron self-energy in the interaction, which I wrote as P, is the standard polarization. And by assuming that those self-energies are momentum independent, you can form the self-consistent loop, just as you did in the DMFT standard version. We propose to implement the EDMFT through a Hobach-Tatanovich auxiliary field. The advantage is that the major difficulty in the EDMFT equations is you have now a retarded two-particle interaction. And the Hobach-Tatanovich field helps you to decouple the interaction so that allow a quantum Monte Carlo calculation. And besides the technical convenience, physically, it is also very advantage that you introduce a kind of order parameter, which is the auxiliary field. And this allows you to study, say, the generalized Landau-Ginzburg theory, and also you can study the semi-classical limit, which was done recently by Sergei Pankov, Gabriel Cotlier, and Motomi. So in decoupling the interactions, there is a technical detail which I won't go into the details, such that you must ensure the interaction matrix to be positive definite. So once you make sure this point, you can write down the effective interaction. This is nothing but an identity. You can see very nicely that after you decouple the interaction, the electron phonon vertex is purely local. So in making the DMFT approximation, you don't need to make any approximation on this vertex. The phonon part now looks like very much the same as the original electron part. You can think this part as a Hopping term for the phonons on the lattice. So it's no wonder that everything is parallel for the electrons and for the phonons. Now that we have a well-defined local theory, we need to use the Anderson impurity model to solve this problem. And what we do is that we map the local effective system to a Anderson impurity model. This is a generalized version of the Anderson impurity model in the sense that not only you have the electron bus, you also have the phonon bus. These phonon bus involves the two particle processes, which gives you in a non-perturbative way the response function. So in other words, the EDMFT also allows you to determine the response function in a non-perturbative way.
Are you describing the electrostatic fields? You're integrating over.
Yeah, actually you can think of them as electric fields which mediates the long range interaction.
Yes, but they're not to do with lattice dynamics.
It's not real lattice. It's the kind of particle mediating interactions.
Yes. Electrostatic interactions.
Yeah, you're right, yes. Which part are you talking about? Oh, P is the you can think of it as a time derivative. It's the momentum of the bus phonon or whatever you want to call it, the bus for the interactions.
Why is it not gradient of phi? That would be electric field, and the electric field squared would be the energy contained in the field.
Yeah, you're right. This is the lowest order. You can also formulate the EDMFT for the field and for the higher multiples in the exact sense, but for this simple version, you only have the monopole charge interaction. So, okay, let's go on. Once you have this Anderson impurity model, you need to solve this model. We actually implemented the solution of this problem using the quantum Monte Carlo. As I said, that the decoupling allows you to use the standard Hirsch-Phi algorithm to solve the fermionic part. The only thing left is this quadratic form of the bosons, of the auxiliary bosons. And since these bosons are purely C numbers, you just calculate the Boltzmann factor, and this part is quite trivial. Now that we've set the methodology, I want to show you several applications of this method. The first application is purely about the EDMFT, and the second one will be the EDMFT plus GW. And in this application, the first question I want to ask first is that, what is the physical advantage of going all the way through this EDMFT extension over the original version? And physically, actually, as I said before, the difference between the DMFT and the EDMFT is that in the extended DMFT, you are allowed not only to determine the single particle Green's function, but also two particle, the response functions, self-consistently. And this is an advantage such that you can use it to study, say, the phase transition, which I'm going to show you. As it turns out that the density-density response function, which I call chi here, is related to the interaction self energy, which is the polarization in this form. So we know that there is a kind of Stoner-like criterion such that when the denominator disappears, you hit an instability and you see a phase transition. It should be noted that in the standard DMFT, it is also possible to study phase transitions using the DMFT theory. What you do is you can start with, say, a disorder system, go all the way across the boundary. There's just nothing in the single impurity DMFT tells you where to stop. On the other hand, you can start from the other side, the ordered side, and you use again DMFT, you can go across the boundary. And you can compare the self and you can compare the free energies between the two so that you decide how the phase transition happens. But in the extended version of the DMFT, it's much easier. There is the response function here which tells you when you cannot go any further because you can hit the instability of this theory. So what I'm going to show you is the application to a three-dimensional UV model, U for the on-site interaction and V for the nearest neighbor interaction as I define here. And when this denominator vanishes, you have this relation and you know there is a phase transition. All the results I'm going to show you are based on the quantum Monte Carlo calculation. So the first plot is the rescaled energy. As I showed you in the previous transparency, that as this guy goes up and approaching one, you see a divergence and you know there is a phase transition. And when you increase the V, if you trace the change in the which I called D here for the phonon, but actually should be the W, the dynamical interaction between the two, between the particles. This also changes from almost flat for the small V, and it becomes more and more, when V becomes bigger, it becomes bigger and bigger until you cannot go any further.
So, the charge density rate.
I approach the charge density wave from the disordered state. So at the moment, you still stay in the homogeneous phase. But as you approach it, this response function becomes more and more violent, and so that at certain point, you hit the transition point. Yeah, you cannot go anywhere.
Yeah.
Yeah, you can also use the same scheme for the spin density wave. It's more or less the same. So in this way, we actually set up the finite temperature phase diagram for the three-dimensional UV model. There are basically three physical phases allowed in this system. The band insulating phase, which is here when the V, the nearest neighbor interaction, is dominant. And when U is dominant, you have the Mott insulating phase. And in between, you have Fermi liquid. What I did was that we scan for fixed U, you increase V, so that once you hit the instability, you see there is a phase boundary point. And to all those points, you see the boundary for the band insulating phase. And for the Mott insulating phase, because the temperature we did the calculation was at beta equal to 5.0, which is higher than the critical temperature for the Mott transition. So we only see crossover line here between the Fermi liquid and the Mott insulating phase. I have to make two remarks on this phase diagram. First, the boundaries, the slope of the boundaries of this Fermi liquid phase actually tells you the competition between the UV interaction. For example, let's take this line. For a finite U, it takes a bigger V in order to make the transition into the band insulating phase. Same thing here. So it means U and V are in competing with each other. The second remark I want to make is about this point where the three phases meet. Actually, in numerical calculations, we found that as we go closer to this point, we experience critical slowing down and also the slowing down in the iterations of the extended DMFT, so that we know that around this point there are certain kind of critical behavior in control. So this is about the application of the EDMFT for this three-dimensional UV model. There's another point we can make for the same system, the 3D UV model. It's the energy dependence of U. Actually, if you think the EDMFT in another way, there is a constant U from the original extended Hilbert model. There is a retarded interaction which comes from the integrating out all the lattice sites but keep one, so that you have interaction mediated by all the other lattice sites you integrate out. And if you combine them together, what you get is actually an effective, a local energy dependent U. Of course, we know that practically the on-site interaction U is always energy dependent. The question is, we always make the approximation that we assume that we can replace this function by a constant U. So how good is this approximation? That's the question I want to answer in this second part. So again, I use the Pervez 3D UV model and do the quantum Monte Carlo calculation. And what I plot here is the U effective, which is a combination of these two, at beta equals to 5 and U equals to 3. I scan the V. As you can see that as you increase V, the effective U originally, which is quite flat, becomes more and more screened. Yes, okay. And also you can see that at high frequency, the screening is less effective. It approaches the bare value. And at lower frequencies, the screening is the strongest. So as I said, we want to answer the question, if this energy-dependent U can be replaced by a constant U in model calculations. What I show you here is the plotting of the imaginary part of the electron Green's function versus the Matsubara frequency. What you see is this line with diamond, which represents the quantum Monte Carlo result, is obtained from the extended DMFT. And the other lines, the other three lines, are obtained from certain effective use. What you can see here is that at the high frequency region, the extended DMFT result approaches the result from the U, which equals to the bare value, which is reasonable, because at high frequency, the screening is less effective. As you approach lower and lower frequency, you can see something very interesting. The EDMFT result actually deviates from of the bare U, and it crosses over to the U effective of another value. If you look at the lowest, the first Matsubara frequency, you can notice that the deviation is huge. So the answer for this part is that it seems that an energy-dependent U resulting in a non-trivial crossover, as you can see very clearly from this plotting, such that cannot be reproduced by using a constant U. It seems there are two different U's in action. One is the bare U, which works at a high frequency limit, and the other is in control of the low frequency limit. And in between, there is a kind of crossover. So now I really need to be fast. This is the application, second application, the EDMFT plus GW in 1D band insulator. And 1D is the worst case for DMFT because of the scaling with dimension. So that besides the GW diagram contributes to the self energy, we also have an electron diagram, which is also of the same order as you will see to the GW part. Otherwise, it's the standard EDMFT plus GW. And I just show you the model for the record. And one thing I want to say is this is a band insulator because we want to eliminate the temperature dependence. since the QMC is always done at high temperature, at finite temperature. And also, I want to mention that this is the case. We know that the pure eDMFT is not good. The DMFT is only a single site theory, and so is the eDMFT. And in one dimension, we know that we need at least take into account a cluster of two sites, as you heard from Gabi's talk a couple of days ago. And what we want to see here is how GW improves the eDMFT result. So what we do is we take two impurity models, one for each sublattice, and solve them independently and combine them at the self-consistency level. So after you do this, you get the result, and I show you the electron Green's functions. This heavy line is from the standard, just the mean field Hartree approximation. And this dotted line is the exact solution from DMRG. As you can see that the single site eDMFT itself gives quite bad result. Actually, as frequency goes higher, it becomes better, but at low frequency, it's very bad. And these lines are from the GW approximation combined with eDMFT. Although it's still not good enough, but you can see the improvement is quite big. And this is the case for both the imagined part and the real part of the local Green's function. So DMFT plus GW will give you a better description of the spatial correlation. And here's the conclusion. So
thank you. So questions?
Can I see your phase diagram of the 3D model in the UV plane again for
sure.
A second?
Sure.
My question is,
yes.
I would have expected the phase boundary maybe at U equals 3V or something like that.
And at what? At V equal to 3?
Along the line U equals 3V at strong coupling. And
yes, you mean here? Mm-hmm. Okay. So what?
At strong coupling, I'd expect the phase boundary to be the line U equals 3V. And is that, it looks more like U is the same order of V.
You mean from the mean field, you may anticipate a simple relation between U and V as they become very big.
Right.
Yeah, that might be true, but we didn't really go to for the higher value of U and Vs, I cannot tell this. Also, this is a finite temperature calculation.
Okay. Yeah. What is a boundary shader? Maybe miss. You have one electron per site.
You mean? Yeah, it's a half filling. Yes.
Still, even with V or GW, have a single impurity problem.
For this part, there's no GW. It's all purely eDMFT.
But it is still an impurity problem. And what is a band insulator?
What's the question?
What is a band insulator definition?
What I see is that there are two parts of this story. First, as I said, that I always start the problem from this side, from the homogeneous side, to approach the phase boundary. So you see an instability which corresponds to a wave vector at k equals to pi, pi, pi. And at the static, the frequency zero frequency. So you know that there is a static phase with a wave vector with a wave vector k, k, k. And so this is all the information you can get from this side. On the other hand, you know that when V is very big, you should have a band insulating phase, so that,
Okay.
Or you can call it a charge density wave, this kind of thing.
I have a question concerning the double counting. So I assume you don't double count any GW and DMFT diagrams, right?
That's a tricky question. Let me show you the diagram. Yes, you can keep on.
And how about the the screening and the RPA diagrams, wouldn't there also be the same kinds of diagrams, at least on the local level within DMFT?
Yeah, let me show you the diagrams. So that if you combine the local U with the W together, there is a possible double counting in the sense that look at this diagram. If you contain the U into this diagram is equivalent to the original diagram. That's why I always separate U from the W. I write two of them. I do not write the U effective all together to avoid that problem. Okay, yes.
Okay, so if there is no other question, let's thank Ping again.